Joined by the final finisher in of the, among the open teams to make it into the Daytona 500, and that's driver number 44, Greg Biffle. Greg, welcome back. Everyone excited to walk over here. Fans came, were coming up to you talking about how happy they were to see you back in the Cup Series. How did that feel, and then how does it feel to make the 500 on Sunday?
Man, it feels really good. I've not slept much in the last couple of days, just trying to keep a cool composure. I've been nervous about, you know, this race because there's so many things that can happen and so many ways it can go. And we've talked the scenarios all the way. And I watched the first race and I saw the 62 car was, you know, in the lead of the cars. And I thought, well, if he, you know, finishes in front of those guys and the 50 actually runs in the second race, we'll be in on time. And, you know, just figuring all those scenarios. But the car drove really, really good. You know, we ran up, you know, up in the top 10 there, 12th or whatever, ended up finishing 14th. We had a little bit of a hiccup trying to put fuel in on pit road and lost the draft. So we were able to kind of work our way back in there. And maybe that was good for us because we missed that wreck towards the end. So we might have been in the middle of that. But really excited for Grambling University and, you know, this Childress Hendrick combination really worked for us. So we're excited about it.
Okay, if you have a question for Greg, please raise your hand. We'll get you a mic. Start here with Tim, and go to Chase, and then go back.
Tim Packman, Pub Table Racers. Going into this race, how much did you not have back at the shop to get ready for this? I mean, you were scrambling for quite a few things from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's face it. When you start a program, there's a lot of things you need. And, you know, one analogy comes to my mind is you're going to go camping for the weekend. You need everything. You don't have anything, right? It, you know, down to every last piece. And you don't know that till you get there. And you go, oh no, we don't have this or we don't have that. So we had a lot of equipment, but you know, do we have the right equipment for this new car? And that's what posed to be, you know, a big problem for us. You know, we only got 10 minutes of practice in the first practice because of, you know, some of those new car issues that we weren't quite ready for. So it's been a challenge all weekend, but I think we got our feet under us now, especially with the way the car drove. The car drove amazing, you know, really, really good. I watched some guys that look like they're too free and have handling issues, and I didn't experience that, so makes me feel good for the 500 on Sunday that I've got a competitive car that I can challenge for the win. You know, not just can we get in the 500. You know, when I was running 10th there and, you know, foaming at the mouth looking at the lead, I was like, I know I can't. I'm just going to stay in line. I'm not going to be a good boy right now. But anyway, it's been a challenge for us all the way around.
Go to Ken.
Hey, Greg, if I read your stats right, your first Cup win was here in 2003 in the summer race. You must have thought you were probably going to win here quite a bit yet again. But that leads into my main question is, knowing Jack's record here with the Roush team, how does it strike you as odd that he swept the Twins here tonight, that you know, given his lifetime frustration with plate racing?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I really I was headed down to the victory lane to congratulate those guys. You know, I've got a long relationship with them, and I'm really, really happy for them. But they told me I was going to the media center, so here I am. But I'm excited for those guys. And am I surprised? Not particularly. They've got Jimmy Finning. They got a smart group of people. I know Brad came in there and made some changes, maybe brought some people with him. And also, plate racing is sort of, you know, right place at the right time as well. And I'll tell you what, Brad, I watched the first race. I don't know how it went down on the second race, but Brad drove his butt off to get that position, you know, and made some moves. So they did a great job, and I'm really happy for them.
What a Chase, the black shirt there.
Chase McCabe, Chasing Checkers Radio, 102.5 The Game. You haven't been full-time for a while, and I know a lot of the veteran drivers were curious about this car. Is it just curiosity of how the new car will drive that kind of led you to want to do this? What was your motivation to come back?
You know, I think the opportunity to drive good equipment was intriguing. You know, it was RCR build with a Hendrick engine. So that was an intriguing, thing for me to come back. Obviously, the new car, I want to see, you know, what they're about, what they drive like. And be honest with you, I've been talking with John for a couple of years about, you know, putting a program together. So it's ironic that it just came together last minute and this happens to be the car. Because potentially it could have been last year, but I'm glad it came together when it did.
Jenna?
You're the oldest driver in the field, and Villeneuve.
Are you sure?
Villeneuve said that he was, and then you got added, and he was annoyed because now you are. So I don't know if it's a badge of honor. Do you feel like the oldest driver in the field?
After that 150-mile race, I do, because I was so nervous the whole time. It wasn't tiring. It was just, you know, wearing on your, you know, you're sitting there calculating like a computer over and over and over and over, and where's he at, where's this, and what lane am I in, and make sure I, you know, don't make any mistakes, and looking at the dash like there's something I could do if anything happened. But I feel like I've got, you know, as good opportunity as anybody, and I feel like I'm in a position that, I didn't know, being, not say dysfunctional, how this team came together so late and we're kind of an underdog, but now on the racetrack, that's a different story. You know, it wasn't till tonight that I feel like I've got an opportunity to win the 500 for sure. You know, I mean, there are 40 other guys, 39 other guys do, but I really feel like I do. So, badge of honor, sure.
Good. You just handed a mark there, Jenna.
Hey, Greg Merk along with AP. With that said, you've seen so many guys walk away and not come back. Does it make you feel like pump your chest out a little bit that, hey, I still got this, I can still do this? I mean, were there ever doubts? It's not like you walked away from racing.
No, and that's what I said in 16 when I walked away is, to be honest with you, I was tired of running in the position we were running. You know, I didn't want to try and stay in the lead lap. That wasn't my goal in racing, was you know, show up at each race and try and be on the lead lap at the end of it. And I didn't want to do that anymore. I want to win. And if I don't feel like I have the opportunity, if that truck inside that trailer going to the racetrack, I don't think I can win with it, then, you know, I'm you know, we knew we were beat before we left the shop. And I'd had enough of that, you know. So, unfortunately, that's when I decided to walk away. And I always said with the right opportunity I'd come back, or a situation like this where a guy needs a hand up and they want to start a new team. And, you know, if I feel like I can help them, I would come back and see if I can.
Kelly?
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. So, Greg, last minute of this team coming together to get here, some issues just getting the car on track that the guys had to go through. You mentioned you haven't slept the last couple nights. What has this just been like for you versus previously when you were racing the Cup Series? Just going through all of this, being in this position, what is that like for you?
You know, it's a humbling experience. It's challenging. And, you know, I'm used to coming down here being in the 500. Doesn't, you know, you're a charter team. And or you're high enough in points, so it definitely has been a lot of pressure. And you know, I've got a lot of respect for the guys that come down here and have to do it, you know, every year. It's tough. I've done it once before, long time ago. We won't mention how long ago that was, but I've had to do it once before, trying to race my way in. So it'll be nice night tonight. But I got to get up at 7 in the morning and go do a charity fishing tournament on Lake Lloyd, so I'm excited about that. No sleeping in tomorrow. I know you have a year and a half year old. You get up at 6:30 every day anyway.
Luis
Torres, the podium finish. I won't mention how long ago it was back when you were to try to race your way in. So I want to mention you have raced on the cup level with Fords almost your entire career until now. How do you feel the difference from between now and then driving with these Chevy powered cars after being away from it after these many years on the cup level?
It you know, probably any track you're going to come back to and have to get in the saddle. This was probably a little bit easier racetrack because it's a little more, it's a little more of a chess game than, elbows up, like a Darlington, where it's really tough, or a Bristol, or, some racetrack like that, Martinsville, where you got to come and jump in the fire. This was a little bit easier. It's a little more precise, executed. Car has a lot to do with it. So if any places to come back after, a 4 or 5 year stint, it's probably, this has been an easier transition than a lot of other places.
We'll go to Peter in the corner there and then back to Daniel.
Peter Strada, TSJ Sports. Craig, I'm curious, is there any similarities between this week, your return to the Cup Series, and the truck race you made back in 2019, your return to that series?
Yeah, I mean, you got to wait for Sunday to see that, but I'm hoping that's going to go the same way. It did feel good to get in the car and run good tonight and, just pick the right lanes and stayed in lanes and, everybody did a great job. Spotter did a good job. Jay gave me a good car to drive, did his research and figured out where to put the rounds and tire pressure. So I think we have a great opportunity. And that's all a driver can ask for. Now it's up to me on Sunday to take care of the car and get it in position at the end.
A question from the press box.
Bruce Martin with Speed Sport. When you had that pit stop issue that took a little time to get all the, to get the pit stop completed, were you aware that Timmy Hill wasn't really having a very good race, or how did you keep your emotions in check when all that was happening?
Yeah, I knew that we had gone by Timmy a couple times, so I knew he was 2 laps down, I thought. My biggest fear all night and these last couple days is losing the draft. And so we come down to pit, and we've got some new guys there, and we had an issue getting fuel in it, and I knew we lost the draft. So we were lucky enough that some other guys had issues. I don't know what happened, but the 48 car, was in the middle there. So he picked us up and pushed us for a while, and then we were actually able to get back together with some other guys. But we also, I guess I hadn't mentioned this yet, but we also ran out of fuel 2 laps to go. So fuel light came on, and I had to move out of the, come into the white, I had to move up and let the 42 go and get out of the pack in turn 3 and 4 because the motor started laying down to about 22 pounds of fuel pressure. So I wasn't sure if we were going to get stuck on the racetrack or make it around. And I got back in line and was able to draft into 1 and 2, and then that wreck happened on the backstretch. So, that kind of – I think we would have made it, I guess, but I'm just not sure. I don't know how the fuel system works in these cars yet, but it kept running all the way back to the checkered flag, and then, of course, around on the cooldown lap, it kept running. So I guess there's some hidden fuel in there somewhere.
You have another one up top, and then we'll go to Daniel.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. Greg, you've probably mentioned this in the past, but how do you see your role with this organization, and what is your commitment towards whatever they end up doing this coming season?
Well, I think the important thing will be that we've got to have cars that are capable of running competitively at the racetrack. That's the most important thing. you know, I certainly don't want to come and run 38th and try and, you know, stay out of the way. That I've already done that before, so at different times in my career. So, you know, if we can get a program put together, get the proper alliance with some teams, get some help, you know, which I have to say Chevy and RCR and Hendrick have been a huge help to this team so far. And, you know, I know there's other Chevy teams that could maybe help as well. So it's really up in the air. It really depends on I know it's difficult to get cars and parts. So every team's facing that. So it's kind of a waiting game, wait and see. And I'm willing to, you know, continue to try and help them if we can put the right program together.
We'll route up down here with Daniel.
Daniel McFadden, frontstretch.com. Greg, I mean, earlier you said at the end of your time with Roush, you got tired of leaving the shop and knowing you already lost. I'm wondering, from your perspective, like, what led to that, that downturn for Roush? And what's it like for you seeing your former team make some history tonight, sweeping the duels when they'd only had one duel win ever before tonight?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm so happy for that organization. I still have a ton of friends there. I talked to Jack for probably 20 minutes in the garage. You know, I respect Brad's decision to go over there and try and, you know, help that organization become part owner. That was a huge risk for Brad to leave and go take that on. And I think it's great for those guys. They needed that. And, you know, we were on, you know, after Carl left, or after Matt left, and then after Carl left, we were on a path that, you know, we needed an influx of something to get, you know, to change the course of the organization. And, you know, we were just doing the same thing every week with hoping for a different result is what it boiled down to. And we just couldn't bend the needle, you know. And there was just no evidence that was going to change in the near future. And so that's sort of, you know, when I talked to him about, you know, just doing something different.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Greg. Congratulations. Yeah. And good luck on Sunday.
Thanks.